Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Yes, it is, and I am outdoors literally almost. Down in Tampa, Florida, where the Minnesota Twins are playing the New York Yankees spring training. Right here on Live Outdoors and Sports to the Max. I keep waiting for my play-by-play debut, but Alberto Mejia just retired the New York Yankees, so it'll have to wait a little bit longer. I know Ron Shearer has been waiting with bated breath for me to be able to make a call from down here.
Maxie,
is that correct, Ron?
It won't be play-by- In your case, it won't be play-by-play. It'll be air-by-air. Huh? How are you?
Let me tell you something, buddy. I'm sitting next to the legendary Lavelle Neal. We are sharing a booth tonight. It is really the perfect way to watch a game. And I asked him about his recollections of Ron Shearer when he first started at the Star Tribune. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know, I never met Raven.
Well, I was going to say Lavelle is one of the best baseball writers in America, but I'm not going to say that now. So anyway,
what's going on up north?
Well, we got 38 degrees here, a beautiful evening, and it's going to get warmer. I don't know when you're coming back, but I did
I had a
meeting with the big wigs here at CCO Radio this afternoon. The word I got, unless I misunderstood, that you were auditioning to be the Twins' bat boy. That's what I...
The problem is they're only going to keep two this year. They don't know who's coming north yet, you know?
well, we're rooting for you.
I'm pretty good at it, though.
I bet you are. I bet you are. No, we have a good show tonight, Maxie. We're going to talk to DNR about this new Northern Pike plan they've announced to try to get the average size of pike up in the in most of the central part of the state. And then later, have a quick chat with our good friend Steve Carney. You know, he's a late ice fishing guy, you know, can't get enough of it. And then
ice fishing, hunting, open water fishing, if it's outdoors, he's there.
He does it all, and he can talk a good story, too. So there you go.
Yeah.
And last part of the show tonight, we're going to have Representative Dan Fabian on. He is the chairman of the Natural Resources House Committee over there, where a lot of big bills will be coming through there. So we'll find out what he envisions will happen as we go along through the legislature. So that's the lineup tonight, buddy.
That's a pretty strong lineup. Now, what's Ron been up to this last week in terms of outdoors?
Well, in terms of outdoors, let's see here.
Did you take the garbage out at least this week or something? You
say? Of course.
That'd be a first.
I listened to those orders, I'll tell you. Well, Raven and I were at the auto show. Big turnout there. Still going on, by the way. And then I did run over to the deer and wild turkey show over at the State Fair. Very busy.
How did it look?
It looked pretty. It looked great. A lot of exhibitors there with the deer hunting wear and scents and clothing and deer calls and turkey calls and Lee and Tiffany were there. They were dear friends of mine. They have a big show on the Outdoor Channel. Saw some old friends, and that's kind of what, you know, March, unless you sit out there in the ice, it's sports show time, and you and I will be at the big Minneapolis sports show, I think, a week from this Thursday. So
and that's one of your favorites, isn't it?
It is. It's really the true sign of spring, I always say, and you and I will be doing a live broadcast there Thursday night for a couple of hours, and so I'm looking forward to that. And this Saturday, I've got to go to Eau Claire for their
Eau Claire, of all places.
Yeah, a big sports show there. They asked me to share some wisdom. Of course, I have lots of it. And
I suppose in Wisconsin, you probably qualify as wise.
As wise, yes. that's usually two words. But
it tells you more about Wisconsin than it does Ron.
You didn't get my joke. I said wise. That's usually two words, but we're not going to go there. So anyway, have you heard
there's much around Eau Claire? Go ahead.
Have you heard any fishing stories down there? Did you tell Herbie that I remember finally a bass fishing trip I took with him?
I have not seen Herbie here, but I did. Our group, I'm leading a Fan in the Stands tour, and today they went out to the Everglades and experienced the Everglades and the alligators that are out there. I assume you've done that once or twice in an airboat.
Well, I fished out there. Really haven't.
Well, what do they allow out there? Can you fish in the Everglades? Can you? What is it, protected area? What is it?
Well, it's a protected area. You couldn't build condos out there, but yeah, it's part of a national. I don't know if I want to say national park or whatever, but yeah, it's controlled, and you know, I don't know how far you have to. Don't remember how far you go out to get open fishing water, but there's a lot to do out there fishing wise, or gawking at alligators, or lots of bird life down there. You did not go, I take it.
I had to be over at the stadium, so I couldn't go.
Oh.
Yeah, so bummer. But
I thought you were. I was hoping maybe you'd volunteer to wrestle alligators.
A few people that asked me if I'd do that. It's funny. Why do you say that?
So
what were you, when you go out in the Everglades in the middle of the water, what do you fish for?
Well, depends what time of year, tarpon or snook. And there's a lot of other little crittersome, you know, yellow snapper, other things, some of which I can't remember now. But yes, it's a lot of fish life out there. And you just have to be careful with the tides, because if you're not paying attention to the tides, you can run your boat right up on the oyster bed, and you're going to sit there for 8 hours or whatever it is. So
that long?
Yeah, you got to wait for the tide to change.
So that's why you told me, hey, just take the boat out there and any time of day, and don't worry about it, and just cast.
As usual, you never listen to me, never taken my directions. So anyway,
here's a question I got from one of our folks, Fan in the Stands. They saw four or five black, good-sized, thin birds when they were driving to Port Charlotte yesterday to watch Twins play. And they asked me if those were wild turkey, and I said there are indeed wild turkey in Florida, but are there not also vultures?
Lots of vultures in Florida. And
so there's a pretty good chance it could have been one of them.
Yeah, if it has, you know, in some ways they look similar, because vultures have
Dark bodies.
They're black, and but they're almost coal black. A turkey's not so much. They stand a little different, but both of them have kind of a featherless head for good reason. But vultures, I mean, if you see them close up, you'll know it's not a wild turkey. And but, yeah, they have vultures. Well, so does Minnesota, for that matter. Turkey vultures and et cetera, and wild turkeys.
Plus the media.
But their wild turkey is a little bit different than ours up here. Longer legs, kind of red-colored legs, and very challenging to hunt, because they get hunted down there a lot. Listen, I think we ought to take a little break here, buddy.
Yeah, let's take a break. The score is 2-1 here from Steinbrenner Field. The Twins leading the New York Yankees in the sixth inning. Hopefully, I'll get a play-by-play debut. But when we come back, more Live Outdoors. Ron Shira in Minneapolis, Mike Max in Tampa. Stay with us.
Hey, do I have a remedy for the winter blahs? The cure? Head to Alexandria, Minnesota. Here's the prescription. Ride more than 300 miles of snowmobile trails. Add 350 lakes for ice fishing. Ride the ski hill on snowboards or skis. Then take a break at Alexandria's local winery or brewery, even a distillery. Did I mention Alexandria is just a short drive from the Twin Cities on Interstate 94? For more fun details about Alex, go online at explorealex.com. Leave your winter blahs behind.
Welcome back. Live Outdoors, different version of Mike Max, literally outdoors almost, down in Tampa, where the Minnesota Twins lead the New York Yankees 2-1 in the seventh inning. Ron Shira back in studio in Minneapolis, talking all things outdoors. Ron, tell them about our next guest.
Well, hey, we have a great guest coming up here, Al Stevens, DNR Fisheries Program Consultant, and Al was kind enough to join me tonight. Al, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You know, you guys announced a new Northern Pike Management Plan the other day. Al, this is an old issue, trying to somehow change Minnesota lakes that are full of stunted northerns, or in some cases no northerns, or few northerns. Anyway, the north central part of the state, which is, I think, a lot of us are familiar with, all these hammer handles, et cetera, et cetera. You've announced a 10 northern pike limit as part of this new plan. That's been tried before, and I don't know, did it work or not work?
Mixed bag. In most cases, no, because the interest in harvesting a lot of small pike has never been high in anglers' desire to do in angling. What's unique here is for the North Central regulation, it will be protecting those medium-sized northern pike, 22 to 26 inches long, from harvest. That's new, and that hasn't been tried at this widespread level for sure anywhere. So that'll be new. And then we hope that, you know, it will encourage people to harvest the small fish.
Yeah, I think what you should do is send everybody recipes for pickling northern pike because they're delicious.
There you go. You're right. And, you know, I don't think we're not hinging the success of this regulation on anglers harvesting a lot of small pike. It really is protecting those 22 to 26-inch northern pike, because what they'll do, what we hope they'll do, and we certainly believe they will, is that they will predate on the smaller northern pike. They'll keep their population in check more so than any other group. That's the size range where they grow really fast. You know, they're almost like teenagers. They eat a lot. They grow fast. And that's what this regulation will hinge on, is protecting those fish.
Now, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
In the Northeast, you've got a reduced bag of pike to 2 pike, and you're protecting 30 to 40 inches. The only thing I would argue with there is you're allowing 1 pike over 40 to be kept.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this argument with Henry Drews. If 500 of us caught one over 40 and we all kept one, they'd be gone.
Yeah, if that would actually happen. Of course, right now it's 1 over 30.
Okay.
So 1 over 30 statewide. So there'll be no harvest from 30 to 40. So fish that get that size, there'll be more of them. And you do know how this works, is that when you put a 1 over regulation, that tends to be, it fosters this conservation ethic, and the desire to harvest sometimes goes down.
Yes.
You know, we saw that with the voluntary 1 over 20 Mille Lacs back in the mid-80s, that did help voluntary release because it puts a value on those fish.
I would just say that in Canada, you go up there.
Can I just interject one thing? Ron catches one over 40, and they'll have a parade in Anoka for him.
I would just say this. When you go to Canada fishing for giant pike, you don't kill any. So.
Yeah.
Now, in the South, you've got a 2-fish minimum size, 24. I was not aware that those southern lakes that are so fertile were kind of lacking northern pike.
Yeah, well, you know what they lack in? They're fertile, but they lack in vegetation for fish to spawn. Northern pike need flooded vegetation to spawn in. Yeah, the habitat is lacking down there. So there the problem is, as you say, maybe a surprise to many, except for those that fish down there, pike are not highly abundant. The goal here is to allow them to get to 24 so that they get up to a decent-sized fish for harvest.
Yeah. One more thing, Al, appreciate your patience here.
No problem.
Used to have a fishery manager in the Twin Cities, Dwayne Shodine.
Sure.
Dwayne was also attacking the same problem of too many pike that are stunted or small. And he took a lake here in the Twin Cities, I forget which one, maybe you remember. He netted the heck out of it and took out a bunch of small northerns and then watched to see if the remaining northerns got bigger for some reason, and as I recall, it didn't work.
Well, yeah, not a surprise. You can imagine the netting effort it'd take to do that.
But he tried it on one lake, I think.
Yeah. And then I guess the value in that, I don't know what you'd do with that. We can't do that statewide.
No.
With over 3,000 lakes with pike, so.
Yeah, I get it.
The biological part
again,
of it.
Again, if I could interject for a second, when you do a netting, this is for both of you guys, when you do something like that and you do some netting, does it give you a real good sample of what's in the lake, or does it only tell you what you found it when you netted a certain way at a certain depth?
A little of both, Mike. It's an index, is what it is. But when you do this enough times over a period of time, over years and decades, you get an idea of the trend. And northern pike do net well in our gill nets. And so, for example, I mean, a good northern pike lake typically has 3 or fewer northern pike per lift. It's the opposite of walleye, where you like to see a lot of walleye in our gill nets. So a low-density population is the best. And you'll see that, like in Lake Vermilion, they routinely only get around 1 per net. That isn't very a lot. There's other lakes where they bounce around 10 to 15, their high-density population. So they definitely correlate with abundance to a degree.
We're chatting tonight with Al Stevens, the DNR Fisheries Program, about the new Northern Pike Plan announced a couple weeks ago. Al, you guys tried to do this last year, and what the legislature said no for a while? What was that all about?
Well, no, actually, yeah, this is 2016. The legislature, it went through smooth sailing. It passed the Senate 61-0, as I recall. It passed the House subcommittee. Would have gone on, and there had been no testimony against it. It may have gone on for passage, but there were issues that session with other things, finances and things, and this just was tabled.
Oh.
So we had to come back with rulemaking, where we do a different process, where we don't go through the legislature. We do it ourselves through rulemaking, and that's what we did a year ago, Ron. And we took public comment again there, and it went really well. Except for, let's see, that was 2017, except for we still had the 1/30 regulation on the books. And an administrative law judge says that conflicted with this new rule. We had to get that removed last year legislatively. That happened, so now it'll go into effect. It went into effect March 1st, affecting waters on the opener May 12th.
So how will you finally figure out if these regulations have worked?
Yeah, we have some research staff already on that. We're going to be reviewing that same netting information that we talked about earlier, gill nets. And we'll be looking at a statewide effort, how it looks across the lakes. So it'll be, you know, it's going to be about 10 years down the road, at least, to get a good handle on this. And we're actively prepared for it.
Well, you know, all of us at Fish, we wish you luck, because I'm tired of losing so many lures to northern pike. Now,
those are cattails in the weeds.
Now, my co-host wouldn't understand this because he's never caught a northern pike. You understand, Al? But
you've lost lures, all right. But it's had nothing to do with the fish.
Oh, let me tell you, northern pike, Alec, you can appreciate this. The first time this braided line came out,
okay,
we all thought, "Oh, this takes care of those pike cutting your line, okay." And the first pike I caught with a jig and I didn't have a leader on, just jig and braided line. Ah, I caught that northern pike. Okay, I said, that's it, man. You guys are done for. You're not going to take any. About the second or third northern pike that hit, I set the hook and bloop, nothing there. He cut that braided line like he had a scissors.
Sure, what a toothy critter they are. That's right.
Well, they're a great fish, I think. They've been exploited. We need bigger ones and appreciate them more. And you can't appreciate those dinky hammer handles. But they are good when you put them in a jar and get them ready to eat.
Mm-hmm. And I've had them canned, too. They're good that way, too.
All right. Al, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Al.
Good night, gentlemen. Bye.
You bet. Steve Carney right around the corner. Mike Max in Tampa, where the Minnesota Twins still lead it 2-1 in the eighth inning over the New York Yankees. We'll talk more outdoors when we come back. Stay with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Funny you should ask. Mike Max down in Tampa, where the Minnesota Twins are playing the New York Yankees. Byron Buxton has had what we call a Ron Shera night.
Really?
4 at bats and 4 strikeouts.
That's my fishing
trip.
That
ain't good, Ron.
That's my opening day of fishing right there.
An 0-for-4, another 0-for. Let's bring Steve Carney in, a man that never gets skunked. How are you, buddy?
Hey, great, Mike. How you doing?
He doesn't get skunked. I spent enough time with him in a boat that I'll vouch for that.
Hey, I get skunked just like everybody else. Come on.
Well, you get
paid when you do. The rest of us don't.
Yeah. I guess when I think about it, Maxie, fishing with Steve, I've usually caught the most. So anyway.
That's good. That's because you're older and wiser.
Moving right along. You know, Maxie, Steve Carney here is the kind of guy most people have given up ice fishing. He sent me a picture today holding up a couple of big crappies that he caught yesterday or whatever. He doesn't quit. Steve-O, you love this late season ice fishing?
You know, I do, Ron. I am so tired of drilling holes that as of today, I'm retiring my auger. I just can't do it anymore. It's been a long winter, and I'm just kind of worn out. It's been pretty tough weather-wise, and the ice is like 38, 42 inches thick, and I'm tired of drilling holes, so I'm officially retiring the season today and getting ready for open water.
Yet there's some great pan fishing to be had as we go into March and the snow starts melting off the top of the ice.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. The fish have really been making a transition in the last probably 3 weeks. They've been moving really shallow, and those crappies that I sent you a picture of came out of 5 feet of water in Spring Park, and it's amazing how they make that transition from deep water to shallow water at this time of the year. Most of the winter, I've been in 31 to 57 feet, and now they're up in that 5, 6, 7 feet of water right in the middle of the milfoil, and yeah, this is the time of the year when they're really changing, so you got to kind of adjust, you know, to that change.
Well, we've got some... Well,
what's all the snow on the lake done to it this year? Is that have a major effect or not?
Not really, Mike. It's just made it more difficult to get around because you can't see the trouble spots and you can't see the standing water in certain areas. It makes it a little more dangerous, so we're kind of back to four-wheelers and snowmobiles, and I would not recommend anybody driving, after today. It's just getting too dicey, and, you know, the warm temperatures coming up this week, we're going to have some heaves coming up and some cracks, and it's basically back to where we started at the beginning of the season.
I'm not sure we've had enough snow long enough this winter to, create fish kills or winter kills or maybe even kill a bunch of plants that normally survive with sunlight through the ice. Would you say, Steve?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I know the milfoil is alive and well in Minnetonka. When I'm drilling holes, you know, in 5 feet of water, the milfoil comes, you know, shooting out of the holes. So it's very green and very much alive. So I don't think that's a factor, at least on that lake.
Well, I think you would recommend, though, if somebody wants to catch some bluegills, go shallow, sit out there in 50-degree weather, don't drive, go shallow, and you probably find some bluegills, huh?
Yeah, you know what's funny is we've got almost 3 feet of ice, and I've been fishing in 5 to 6 feet of water, so that tells you how shallow they are. And, you know, a lot of it depends, you know, lake to lake. Northern Minnesota is very much different than down here, but... You know, it just goes to show you that these fish move according, you know, to the calendar and according to their food sources. And, you know, you got to change with them. And it's just, you know, typical for this time of the year. So most of us right now are kind of chomping at the bit. I was at the Sioux Falls Sports Show the last 4 days, and everybody is climbing the walls. We're ready to get out to the Missouri River, and things are going to be very delayed. They've got a lot of cold temperatures out there. There's still ice on the river, so... It's going to be delayed. I think the border opener April 21 is probably not what you want to do. I don't think the ice is going to even be off the lake on Big Stone and Traverse by then. So things are late, and it's unfortunate, but we're just going to have to be patient, and it's tough, you know, when things are delayed like this, but it's going to be definitely a very, very late spring.
Well, it was very early last year.
We're still waiting for the snow geese to come to South Dakota, aren't they? Because I talked to the other day, said they're still in Kansas.
Yeah, I saw some Canadas coming over I-90 yesterday, so I think it's kind of starting. But, you know, they'll be by, you know, if you're ready to go out and shoot snow geese. I'd say about 3 weeks should be good timing.
Well, Steve-O, we're going to let you go, but I'll see you at the big sports show next week, I hope. And then you and I gear up as a team for the Teen Challenge fishing tournament on Gull Lake.
I will be ready for that, Ron, and I will... prepare for that, because you are a handful in a boat.
So. Well, he declared that. He didn't ask you. He just declared it was going to be you and him on that team, Steve.
No, we have a great time.
That's another one of the old share a shuffle tricks.
I just need to psych myself up in advance.
Okay, well.
Thanks, Steve-O.
Go to sleep, Steve. Go to sleep.
Thanks, Ron.
More scintillating conversation with Ron Shera next on Live Outdoors. Stay with us. Yes, it is. Mike Mash from Tampa. Twins lead 2-1 over the New York Yankees in the eighth inning. The Yankees are threatening. Runner on second, one out. We'll keep you updated in a meaningless spring training game. Cool temperatures down here been the story of the night as much as anything. Ron, we've got another great guest back in there, back in Minneapolis.
Indeed, a very important guest. Representative Dan Fabian is with us tonight. Thank you for joining us, Representative Fabian.
Hey, Ron. Hey, Mike. You said some cool temperatures are the... situation down there in Tampa?
Yeah, 58 really? Degrees only. Man, I
oh,
can't take
this. Oh, you poor thing, you.
Yeah, you poor thing.
Well, I'm glad it's not
going to be cold when I go swimming later tonight.
Well, Representative...
We're not in Roseau tonight. We got some snowmobiling to do yet this year.
Representative Fabian is also chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee as well, so a pretty important guy there, and I wish we had more time.
How much do we have?
I wish we had more time, Dan, but you could give us a blow-by-blow description of all the big walleyes you caught this winter.
Well, I think one of the most fun times I had was actually, we did catch some walleyes, but we went on the Ontario side and we went crappie fishing, and that was just fantastic. And otherwise, the walleye fishing has been good. I noticed on Facebook there's a couple of cracks that have started to develop on the lake, so people have to be careful. They had the big snowmobile rally up there 2 weekends ago up in the northwest angle, the Edge Riders, just hundreds and hundreds of snowmobilers show up for that. The snowmobiling is good. I was home this weekend and climbed on my sled and ran over to Badger and had lunch one day and came back. So there's all kinds of things to do. I was shooting my 243 a little bit and hoping that I'd see a coyote, but I didn't. So.
All right.
Didn't see, what was going on in Greenbush?
And Badger, just lunch. Yep, just have a bite to eat and drive back home.
Well, Representative Fabian, you know, you just got started here with the legislative session. From the start, what do you see down the road as far as issues that will come before your committee that might either make you smile or make you frown? What do you see down ahead?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we got to get straightened out is we did the fee increases last year on deer hunting and snowmobiling, and I was under the impression that the groups had an agreement with the DNR on how that money was going to be divided. It doesn't seem to be that the agreement is holding very well right now. So we're going to have a hearing, and we got some bills to make sure that the money goes to where the legislature intended it to go, which is that 60-40 split for the snowmobilers, and then for the deer hunt guys, that 50-50 split on the fees, basically. It's roughly that. It's not exactly that, but 50% basically goes to deer management. So we just want to hold the agency's feet to the fire on that, and that's what we agreed to, so let's live up to the agreement.
Any other issues?
Well, the Lessard Council's recommendations to the legislature, I'm carrying that bill. I think that thanks to you, Ron, and a lot of other people, I think we went through a pretty rigorous process this year, and I actually think that we've got a very, very good bill. You know,
What are the highlights of that? You guys could both probably chime in on this. What are some of the highlights of it?
Well, we got the Ron Shera Rum River project in there. I know that. That's in there.
And my statue. My statue's going up.
The statue that overlooked that leg of the river that happens to be right in front of his house.
Right.
Permanently stocked with
got
bass.
Got the Memorial Ron Shera bass fishing spot. That's coming up.
Yeah.
No, really, we figured out how to spend roughly $110 million all on fish and wildlife habitat. And so I'm proud of that bill and Representative Fabian because of his role in the legislature carries that recommendation in the House, and hopefully it will pass. There is an issue over the land acquisition, public land acquisition. A couple things kind of bother me a little bit, although I don't know where that's going to go. But your thoughts about some of that?
Well, just you talked about it. You know, the amount of money that we're going to be spending on restoration and enhancement, we've heard over and over from different people that we should be spending more money on taking care of what we've got. I was a strong advocate, and I think, Ron, you were too, for the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Program over at DNR that's designed to get dollars into the hands of some of our local conservation groups. You know, it might be the Rosa River chapter of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association that, you know, wants to do some sort of a habitat enhancement program or project out in the Beltrami Island State Forest. You know, we've raised the dollars in there to just about $12 million over what has been in the past. It's roughly 100% increase, if not a little bit more. Some of these smaller projects, like I mentioned, just to tease Ron a little bit about the Rum River, but that's really a cool project, and we've got that fully funded. We got the dam removal and the fish habitat improvement up in Hallock, Minnesota, $2 million project that the city of Hallock and Kitson County could never pull off. We got $15 million in there for the CREP stuff, which was one of the real big initiatives or priorities, I'll say, of the conservation and sportsmen's groups. So I think overall it's a bill that really addresses some major issues, especially the CREP funding. So I'm very happy with it. I think it's great.
Well, appreciate that. Of course, you just got started, so there'll probably be some issues coming up, and we'll keep watching that. You'll keep watching that, and we'll go from there. By the way, I emceed the Big Moha banquet the other night. The Speaker of the House was there, but you were not. I was looking forward to having you buy me a soft drink.
Well, we both found out that you were emceeing it, Ron. That's why you didn't see us.
Actually, I got tied up at the Capitol. We had I can't remember, did we have a Ways and Means meeting? I can't remember what it was. Oh, we had a caucus thing. And then I went up to my office, and then I had a couple of phone calls I had to make. And so now you tell me. The Thief River Falls.
I don't know, man. That sounds a little shallow to me, caucus and a couple of phone calls.
Yeah, well, but then here comes the real thing. You know, we take hockey pretty serious up in northwest Minnesota. Thief River Falls is in the state tournament that night. And I've got roughly 1,500 constituents that would kind of like to see me over at the XL Center. So I can go over there and talk to those folks, or I can go out to the Moha Banquet and have 15 minutes to spare. So I went to the hockey game, and sadly, Alexandria. So now I had to pay off Senator Ingebrigtsen $5 because I lost that bet to him. That was hard on me. So
well,
anyway.
You see, you could have come over to that banquet and had a whole bunch of people chew on your ear.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay. I'm used to that. I'm good at that. You know that.
Yeah, you had a caucus, and I had coffee, so I couldn't make it out there.
Hey, Representative Fabian, we're kind of running short of time here. I appreciate your joining us tonight. We'll get back to you down the road.
Yeah, thanks.
If that works, okay?
Yep, anytime I can work it into my schedule, okay?
Thank you. Representative Fabian with us tonight. Maxie, what's the score now?
It's 2-1. They just got out of a jam in the eighth inning, so we're heading to the ninth, 2-1. And one thing I'll say about these two teams is that it was a brisk night, and they've kind of emptied in the stadium here now. It's only about half full. They have played at a brisk pace. In other words, the umpires don't want to be here long. Players don't want to be here long. This is spring training. Nobody wants to be here long. So,
what's the temperature in Fort
Myers? Venture to guess.
What's the temperature in Fort
Myers? Fort Myers was nice. I left there today. It was 75 degrees. Yesterday I went over to Port Charlotte. It was 80 degrees. We just caught a little bit of a cold front here in Tampa tonight because the wind was blowing so strong. And if it is tied after 9, what do you think, Lavelle? Will they play beyond 9 or will they call it? Yeah, they'll shut her down after 9 tonight.
Too bad.
No interest. And they got a game tomorrow at noon, you know, all that stuff.
Do you think they'll ask you to pinch hit?
I'm waiting. I've kind of been waving to Paul Molitor from up here, just letting him know I'm ready.
Yeah?
But he hasn't responded for some reason, Ron.
Surprise,
it's like
surprise.
When I ask you to take me fishing.
Surprise, surprise.
it's like when I ask you to take me fishing.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Get in line, Maxie. Get in line.
Well, now, did you use some of my good lines at the Moha convention or not? Or did you just use your old stuff?
I use my old stuff because your lines are old too. So there you go. No, it was fun. It's a good meeting. There were a few legislators there. Like I said, the Speaker of the House was there. Didn't make any big revelations, but a lot of conservation groups were there, and that's what we need. And we've lacked in past years, but Gary Leaf and others, we've got conservation groups now, you know, the Isaac Waldney, the Nature Conservancy, Pheasants Forever, Ducks, and they are more politically active now than I can ever remember, and that's
sure.
Good. That's really good. So
yeah, and it's good. And Gary's kind of, you know, he's an unsung hero and all that. He fills in, of course, from time to time when you're gone. But he has really been an advocate and done a lot of the dirty work over there, hasn't he?
Well, he has. And, you know, he kind of works behind the scenes, but he's pretty savvy on politics. Not that he's, you know, he's not going to run or anything, but he knows what it takes to get something moved through the legislature.
It's going to be interesting to see in the gun control bills that go on in over there or what they're trying to do. And I know that was news today, Ron.
Yep.
Do they ever bounce anything off you that way and ask you, you know, some opinions? Because I always get the impression that usually there's a knee-jerk reaction. A lot of people don't understand the difference between a 22 and an AK-47, you know?
Yeah. Well, you got the knee-jerk, and everybody throws a bunch of stuff on the wall, and we'll see what sticks. But usually common sense comes to the surface here as the issue is discussed, and that's really what's, I think, missing a lot is that one side shouts at the other and the other side shouts back instead of sitting down and saying, what really can we do that's effective? So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and now everybody's ice fishing, their houses are off the lake, and pan fishing is good, and we're waiting for turkey hunting. Do you have to have applied for a tag by now to get one in Minnesota?
Well, there's only two hunting times you need to have applied for, and yes, you missed that, but there's a lot of turkey hunting opportunity in Minnesota. You can walk up to a licensed vendor and buy a license without applying for anything. So there you go.
So if you did not apply for the lottery part of it, you're still okay.
Oh yeah, the lottery just awarded licenses for the first two seasons, and I was like, there's six other or five other seasons, something like that. So,
I mean, what should I be able to land a bird in those other seasons?
Well, you can, you can try, Maxie.
Why do you laugh?
I don't want you to waste your money buying the license. That's all.
I said whenever I buy a license, you say that's a great donation.
It was a great donation. You're coming back Wednesday. I'll look forward to that.
Okay, and then next week we'll be at the sports show, at the convention center?
Next Thursday, starting at 6:30.
Yeah, well, you're going to go the distance with us, right?
I'm going the distance, man.
Can you stay awake that long?
I don't know, I'll try to get to bed early the night before.
Okay.
Make a lot of coffee.
Good material.
All
right, thanks, Rod.
You get rid of your goosebumps down there now, okay?
Okay. Minnesota Twins leading it 2-1 in the top of the ninth inning. Of course, this is the home for Twins baseball again. News Radio 830 WCCO. Thrilled to be back with the Minnesota Twins throughout the season. Dan and Corey will have another game for you here soon. I just don't remember when. For sure Friday night, that one they've got for sure. The Maplewood Toyota time is 7:56. On the other side, Twins talk and basketball talk. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.